The digital revolution has not only pitted the traditional Washington media in a battle for audience with competitors, it has put them in a battle for an audience with certain key government figures, notably the President of the United States. George W. Bush used to brag about avoiding the media filter. Barack Obama makes his predecessor look like Mr. Accessible. A recent Politico poll shows that 8 times as many White House correspondents think Bush was more open than Obama than think the opposite. And as I discovered in an earlier expedition, the press corps can do little about it but few. Marine One circles in the winter rain and alights on the White House South Lawn, returning from a staged event at a Virginia shipyard to gin up support for the administration's revenue proposals. President Obama decopters and strides purposefully across the soggy grass toward the Oval Office. Witnessing this extremely high-level walking are some 50 observers huddled under umbrellas and making small talk. Cameras click and whir in perfunctory unison. The return leg from Newport News to Washington No News has been duly recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, your White House press corps in action.
In anticipation of the meeting Friday, the president did invite four leaders.
Inside the briefing room, that's Press Secretary Jay Carney lulling his audience into a state of unconsciousness. As blogger Anna Marie Cox once put it, the White House is where news goes to die, or at least slip into a coma. I asked CBS White House correspondent Major Garrett about being disrespected by the administration. Walking dead seemed rude, so I used the slightly less pejorative term, stenographer.
The president has a message. He's the leader of the free world, and his message deserves to be communicated. That is a prerogative of the presidency. Conveying that accurately is not stenography, and I don't consider that beneath me.
The question is, what is going around him? Once upon a time, his was an elite circle, the only intermediary between the White House and the electorate. Those dynamics every now and then yielded genuine drama, such as the 1974 confrontation between CBS's Dan Rather and President Richard Nixon.
Are you running for something? No, sir, Mr. President, are you?
Tens of millions of people tuned into what were then all three networks gasped at Rather's impertinence. But today's reporters and photographers have been marginalized by a gazillion other channels. Twitter, Facebook, the White House's ongoing blog, the Ask Me Anything forum on Reddit, and on TV, not much evening news, but plenty of Live at 5, David Letterman, and The View. The White House is now itself a kind of media house. Ann Compton of ABC News.
They become publishers, they become journalists, they become their own advertising agency.
Never mind one-on-ones with the president, says Compton, who's covering her 7th presidential administration. Most of the time, reporters can't even get access enough to shout out questions at a grip-and-grin session.
We don't cover Oval Office photo ops. We don't cover many of the meetings he has when he meets with people on immigration or gun violence or the fiscal cliff, the meetings with Congress. It's been 6 months since I've even been in the Oval Office on my turn to be the pool member in there. To shut the media out to the extent this administration has, I think, is a disgrace.
A complaint that White House Deputy Press Secretary Joshua Earnest shrugged off.
Sometimes the president's commitment to engaging with the American public means that there are some members of the White House press corps who get a little frustrated that they're not getting as many interviews as they would like. But at the end of the day, the president's responsibility is not to the members of the White House press corps. It's actually to the American public. In order to fulfill his responsibility to communicate his priorities, the president needs to avail himself of all the opportunity to do that.
Actually, the president's responsibility to the public is not to communicate his priorities. It's to answer for his actions. Hence, the PR strategy to answer easier questions. While the captive White House press corps cooled its heels approximately 20 feet away recently, the president sat down with anchors from 8 local stations from around the country. Among them, Kevin Ogle of KFOR Oklahoma City, who didn't necessarily go for the jugular.
You know, here I am, some local yokel from Oklahoma City, getting to go up and interview the president, and we had limited time, and so there's not a lot of opportunity to ask follow-up questions, you know, or to take him to task on things.
In other words, no Nixon versus Rather moments?
No, it wasn't like that at all.
Instead, Ogle passed along viewer questions, including one from basketball star Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
This comes from KD. Putting your loyalty to the Bulls aside, what are your thoughts on Oklahoma City's Thunder basketball team? You know who KD is?
I do. I've had a chance to play with him. He's a great guy.
In contrast, Susan Peters of KAKE Cake Wichita was fairly aggressive in questioning Obama's plan to cut tax exemptions for Kansas's big corporate aircraft industry. That's right after she handed the president a scrapbook she made of his mom's Kansas heritage. I wondered if she thought she and her local colleagues had been fully respected. Did you get the sense that they looked at you, all eight of you, like eight Ron Burgundies?
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
I don't know if they looked at us like Ron Burgundies, but to be honest with you, it was thrilling. It was thrilling being in the White House interviewing the President of the United States.
Before I left the briefing room, I ran into E.J. Dionne, inveterate political analyst for The Washington Post, PBS, and NPR. I asked him if this administration has perfected the end around.
Well, I think all presidents try to get around the press corps, and now there are more opportunities to do it. But there is still a very large share of the population that's going to get its news mediated, no matter how much we talk about the irrelevance of traditional journalism. It's still a big enough audience that they have to worry about it.
Yep, are we ready?
And with that, Dionne went into a briefing about the sequestration showdown for a handful of the press corps. On background, of course. So, no, the lights in the White House briefing room won't be switched off anytime soon. The place still plays an important role.
We talked at length about the president's offer.
But to understand how things have changed, one merely needs to look up at the podium. As Jay Carney reads scripted answers to a reporter's question, just behind him, next to the iconic White House seal, hangs a giant flat-screen TV scrolling all the up-to-the-minute headlines. The source? The White House blog.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.